to refresh our minds, let's just review. We had some time spent with this one, our very first one. We give because he gave, he meaning Christ. When he gave his life, it so altered everything that we do, everything that we are, that it becomes the driving value. And here is another one. Saved people, served people. Once we have experienced the regenerative work of the gospel, we want to get involved with other people. And so we wind up serving. Sometimes it's those within the body. Sometimes it's outside the body. And then our third one is that find people. It has the same idea, but really what we're talking about here is that we have been transformed by the gospel, and so we go out and we're finding others who need that gospel message. Well, those were the previous three, and today we're thinking about the fact that life is better connected. And with that life being connected, I'm going to ask a question that I want us to wrestle with, but I want you to understand that people don't just show up at Calvary with these Velcro patches on them and somehow they're going to get stuck to somebody else. They aren't pre-serviced with those patches. They come in and they're looking around, but what do we mean by connection? And do you have that kind of connection? It seems like a crazy illustration, but can I tell you this? 65 to 90% of people that come to a church for the first time do so out of relationship. It's not because of a clever website. It's not because that they were just searching around randomly. They come because of a relationship, and therefore we have an opportunity to minister because of that kind of connection. What do we mean by connection? What's it look like to be connected? I'd say let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. It's an important passage. Some of you are going to be very, very familiar with it. And here's what it says. Paul's writing to a church that was really trying to sort out what this looks like. And he said, you have some things messed up, but I want you to know really what the design of the church is. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except the Holy Spirit. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're saying, yes, Jesus is the Lord. That happens because of the Spirit's work. No one would ever say, Jesus is accursed, with the Spirit of God residing. Why is that? Because this connection first hinges upon an individual's relationship with the Father. So we've got that foundational piece. That's the basis of it. And this continues on through this section. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12, but by the time I look down to verse 12, it says, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Isn't that? It's so clear. The picture of connectedness, he didn't use Velcro as an illustration of it. There are many things that he used, but in this section he's saying, no, let's talk about this idea of being a body. We've got this declaration given, the connection. We're in one body, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Jews or Greeks, whether we're slave or free. It doesn't matter what gender you are. You are in one body. We're all made to drink of one Spirit. That's unity. Unity. But unity that comes with an amazing diversity. Unity that produces tremendous variety. In the analogy continues, he said, your body is one, but it's got different components. And I realize that for some listening today, this is so familiar to you, but we don't have just a hand feature to our body. our hands have limitations. The limitations are they can only reach to some point until our legs move us. And what do we hear? How does that affect what our hands do? If you're given instruction to go pick up something, then you can go pick it up. If your mind determines you need to pick up something or go someplace, you can do that as well. Here's how it's put in Scripture. This is in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. That diversity, that uniqueness is so clear. We don't have time to unpack all that's in this section, but by the time we get further along in the passage, verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Important concept, life is better connected. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice. So the answer to this question, what is meant by connected, I'm going to maybe oversimplify it by saying, let's do life together. See, it isn't just my participation in some service at church. It's not sitting through a meeting with some other people. It's not just that. It's not even participating in some program that the church offers. No, doing life together is what is meant by connectedness. We're going to take a quick survey through some of these. And when you think about connected people and what they're doing in the body, the scriptures identify a lot of one another passages. That's what we call them. Common link, it's talking about reciprocal interaction. Here's the first one. We have got this idea of loving one another. John 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says quite clearly, here's a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. It's great if you've got good activities going on at church, but let me say, if we have great activities going on, if you have wonderful services that are part of this church body's experience and we run successful programs, but we do not love, we are not doing church correctly. It is so clear. That's what it takes. That's the first one. Let's look at some more. Here's another one in Romans, this time chapter 12, verse 10. Honoring one another. Now, it's given in the context of this verse that also emphasizes the love. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. What's that look like? Well, God did not call us to be a group of people that associate with one another, but we just tolerate one another. That's not what's in mind here. No, he wanted us to be connected in such a way that we seek to lift up, we seek to pull up the other person to a higher level than what we ourselves might be. So if we're lifting up the priority or the position or the values, the needs of other people above ours, we are honoring them. And we're doing so at a level that's beyond ours. We're valuing their contribution to the body. That's honoring. The list continues to go. In that same chapter, just a few verses down, we pick up on a couple of other ones, rejoicing with one another and living in harmony. Now, those are bullet points, but here's what it says. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Huh. You want to know what doing life together is? It's being able to get excited with those that have had a blessing. It's being able to grieve and shed tears with those that are going through difficult circumstances. It's living together with such harmony that it doesn't matter if our expectations get missed. Whatever we want, we aren't going to bail. We're going to stay here. We're going to be continuing at this task that brings us together because we're connected. You want a practical illustration? Recently, we put together a crazy, funny video about coping with the COVID-19, you know, distancing and the cleanliness and the sanitation thing. And we posted that on Facebook. And, you know, you watch that thing. And, of course, it was done to an extreme. But the point is, you know why that was done? Because our world is full of intense news. We get the daily body count of who's died. That becomes heavy. And then we want to give something that brings a little smile, something that reduces the tension. But did you catch the tail end of that video where it says, don't take this too seriously. We still got to figure out a way to love somebody else. That was the point. Now, you could be hearing from somebody that would say, but I just think it was inappropriate to do that. We got people that are lost and on their way to an eternity without Christ, and here we're doing something silly on our Facebook page. That's not what I expected at all. And if you or someone you know responded like that, I'd be the first to say, I'm sorry that we missed the expectation. That wasn't our goal. But if you were on the perspective that says that was a waste, that is making light of something that is very serious, please know that living in harmony means that we don't jettison our relationship with one another over something like that. And there's so many things like that that come to us. This explains what this concept looks like. I mean, that's a simple illustration, but you can get on Facebook and thinking about political parties and perspectives, and you'll see the same thing. You might see somebody post something with which you personally disagree. Now, what are you going to do with that? Will you stay committed to this body? I hope the answer is yes. The scriptures call us to that in no uncertain terms. Here's another one that I think is really effective in showing our love and our commitment. If we're doing life together, this verse in Galatians 2 emphasizes the importance of carrying a burden that somebody else has. The verse itself says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When I look at that, and I think through what Paul said in Galatians, I realize that love has an active part and it has a verbal part. And there are something that can be done and said and those things, but you realize both are needed. Both are needed. If I ask you for a moment here to say, tell me, what do you think the law of Christ is? Many of you would say, oh, well, it's to love your neighbor is yourself. And I'd say, that's right. But Paul takes those words and he adjusts it a little bit and said, there's a different terminology here. And I'm going to stress the active role for a moment. Love does mean that you are going to carry something. When you're active in carrying the burden of another, you are actually fulfilling the law of Christ. Let that sink in for a moment. Now, let that drive you to reach to somebody in these next days that you think may have a little bit of a burden to carry. Do you know somebody that's been laid off? Do you know somebody that's been lonely? How many of you us are going nuts because we're at home a lot more? We're not able to run around and do the things we want. You know exactly how a shut-in feels right now, don't you? You thought about that? What you're experiencing in these days of isolation, of social distancing, some of our shut-ins live with day in and day out. They can't get around. They're at home a lot of the time. Do you know, I was talking with one of our church members about that very concept this week in a text that came in, of all things. The person was trying to encourage me with something when we got talking back and forth and this thing came up. And I thought, oh, wow. So many times I'm trying to encourage somebody else and here I had this little aha moment of what this was like. carry the burden of another. And then here's another one that speaks about the importance of communicating loving truth to one another. Now, on this screen, I've got Ephesians 4, 29 and 32. But let's just back up a little earlier, because in verse 25, it says this, that you got to speak the truth in love. And here's how it reads. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It sounds very familiar, doesn't it? And then he goes on to say, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted to one another and forgiving one another, because God in Christ has forgiven you. I think the elements that are unfolding in Ephesians 4 say, okay, we've got this unity of the Spirit, and we've got the headship of Christ, and what is in between these concepts is the practical outworking that we are going to speak to one another. We're going to be kind and forgiving and compassionate and reaching towards these others that are around us. That's the point. And then, can I take a look at this one? Praying for one another. You knew this was going to come, didn't you? I hope so. And here's what I want us to say. James 5, 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is one activity that must be practiced right now. And you've got the time. Please draw a circle mentally around this point. Praying for one another. Would you pray also for those that are in authority over us? I would not want our governor's job, and I would not want our president's job. So much responsibility. How would you like to live in a world that it didn't matter what path you chose? You knew there was a very vocal group that was going to speak one side or the other all the way through that. I wouldn't want that job, but we could pray that God would direct in this process. I believe God can do that. But this specifically says pray for one another. So if you're going to pray for those that are leading us, then pray for all of us that are following. And within the concept, context of the body of Christ, that's so critical. You bring your neighbor's needs before the most powerful spot you can within the earshot of God, God himself. That is a great activity, and you've got time for it. Don't miss it. Being connected, doing life together is right now. Our church is not quarantined. Can I say that again? Our church is not quarantined. Oh, we aren't meeting together, but we are not stopping what God has called us to do. The last one here, we need to hold one another accountable. And I love the picture that is coming with this concept. But here's what it says in James 5. My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Oh, and in that Galatians 6:1, it says something very similar. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such one in spirit of meekness. And here's something, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Pastor Zach spoke this about a year ago on this very concept of accountability. Accountability is like vitamin C is to our body. And we're talking about the body, so let's just bring this around again, can we? Vitamin C has something that is preventative. We take vitamin C regularly, and it helps us to stay healthy. It helps us ward off the infections and the colds and all that stuff. There's value in it. And then vitamin C also is prescribed for us when we are sick to take heavier doses of it. And the fascinating thing is vitamin C can't be stored in your body. So it's there and it's gone, and you have to take more in and it's gone. Accountability, in order to make the body of Christ healthy, needs accountability. So we have to embrace this, don't we? We surely do. Accountability really has both kinds. It has that preventative impact. Can you see that? If you meet with another believer and he's talking to you about your relationship with God, about the value of the Word of God in your life, and you're saying, yeah, that's right, man, I am gleaning so much from my study of the Word, and you're talking about that, that's preventative. That brother or sister talking to you about the things of the Lord, that's helpful. But the curative side says, oh, I've fallen into a pattern of stinking thinking, and my actions are wrong. And you come in with a brother or sister, and you're talking about these things, and there is this other aspect to it that says, let's see how we ought to start new patterns, how to get back on track. Do you see? It's so similar. I love the illustration. I mean, that word picture that Pastor Zach gave us probably over a year ago, or about a year ago maybe, on this very concept. It is so valuable. Can we finish up for a moment here and just talk about, so why is life better for believers who are connected? If those things are true, then why would we say for a moment that this is better? Four reasons. And with this, we'll close. First off, it's better because it is commanded by God. And this means that you and I must accept this is God's will for me. It's not optional. All those one another instructions were given in the context of a command from Scripture. We know that that's true. Some of you might say, well, you know, I've never been really part of this church. Not as a member. You see, I really don't like denominational labels, and so I'm here, and let me tell you, I'm enjoying the people of Calvary, and I love the music, and there seems to be a purpose orientation of what you do, and I like the teaching that goes on in our ABFs and in the church services, but I'm not really committed to that. I'm a member of the Universal Church, but I haven't wanted to be part of the local church. Let me tell you that this command is necessary. And here's why I would say that. In the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, but chapters 2 and 3, you find God himself highlighting seven local, real, personal churches with personalities and problems. They had situations, unique elements in there, and he spoke to each one of them. He had desires for them. He had goals for them. And he didn't treat them all the same. He was addressing that. Now, let's just talk about one of those, the church at Ephesus. When God was addressing the fact that this church at Ephesus lost their first love, did he address that to the deacons of the church? Mm-mm. Was he calling out the worship team because they were off their mark? No. Did he pull out the ABF leaders or the pastors when he was talking about you've lost the first, get it fixed? No, he spoke to the whole church. There was an identity there. And by the same token, when he said, you've got to restore your first love, he wasn't talking to just the Awana workers. He wasn't talking to the real life team or the trustees. He was talking to the whole church. And then we move on to another church. It's almost like a parent that looks at his children and says, yes, I would like all my children to be good and obedient, and I'd like to have them be industrious and have a good work ethic. There's some general things that I want in my kids, but no parent treats every child as one lump. There's individuality. So by that, I'm trying to emphasize this command of God is so critical. Local church involvement is critical. Secondly, it is also an area where we are protected. Because it protects us, it is now highlighted as another reason to be valuable to be connected to one another. I have blind spots, and you can alert them to me. You know why they're blind spots? They're called blind spots because you can't see them yourself. You need somebody else in there. So there is going to be some protection that comes. That's why I just spent those minutes talking about accountability. That's why I talk about the importance of burden sharing. In those moments, you find out where a person is. And if I'm overwhelmed with my circumstances, there's protection saying, don't look at your circumstances. Look at the God who carries you through that. Here's the next one. Not only is it a place of protection, but is it a place of completion? It completes us. Don't miss this. I do not have what you can offer, yet I need it. I'm missing things in my life that it can only be supplied by other members of the body of Christ. Hear me, church. This goes two directions. This means that you need other people in your life and you bring something to other people's lives. God so orchestrated the people of the church to function together. You will never, ever hear God say to you, you know what? You're a non-essential worker. Why don't you just take 2 months off of going to church? You're not essential to the whole thing. We got other people that are going to cover that. He's never going to say that. Not at all. So this idea of us contributing to each other is a place where we are completing. Don't take your commitment lightly. Don't minimize the impact that you have there. And finally, the fourth reason, because it pictures our unity in Christ. Nothing else does that in the scheme of things with the body of Christ. Like when we're together, and I know we are not together in this setting. This is artificial completely. It is so hard. You know, I look into this camera, and I have no idea how many people just said, I'm on YouTube, let's jump off and see what kind of epic fails are going on today. And others of you say, epic fails? What's that? I don't know what that is. I don't care. It's just the distraction that comes in here. But when we're together, there is tremendous unity pictured. Whether we're at the Lord's table, we're remembering the cost of our salvation. When we are singing together, our voices are united in declaring truth. Now, we're singing today in our homes. We don't get to hear that. God does, but we don't get to benefit from that interaction. It's occurring, but not like when we're together. But when we are together, we get to celebrate together in such a great way. And I know our church body is anxious to be together and sing again. I heard that a lot last week over Easter. And then when we think about the congregational intake of the word, the listening together to God's word, his message, it pictures this. All this to say, life is better connected. Our church is not quarantined, and here's what you can do right now today. You can begin working on this. You know the Word of God? You've got a phone? Text a word of encouragement to someone. You can do that now before the service ends. You can do it afterwards. You can give a call. Remember, too, what I said. Some of us now have a greater awareness of what it means to be shut in. You know what? One day runs into the next, and you got to stop and think, what day is this? Is this Tuesday or is it Wednesday? Oh, it's Thursday already. How would it happen? The days, you can do something to encourage. You can let your light shine. Can I just bring in one more thing? We've got these signs. But simple statements. But even on your street, when our church is not functioning, the message of hope can be there. We've got these ready for those that want to stop by and pick them up. Put them in there. And we have something to share that isn't so stress-filled, so anxiety-ridden. And maybe it opens up another conversation. Think of all the traffic. Your mailman comes down your street and sees the sign. What about the trash guys that are picking it up? Not to mention the neighbors on your street. You see, we've got opportunities around us. Thank you for listening, but can I just urge you, stay connected. Life is better connected. This is a value that drives us. I'm guessing that most everybody that's tuning in to this kind of message are those that are already thinking about spiritual truth, but there is always that chance that someone has no idea of what it means to be connected to Christ. Would you please let us know? Visit us through the website. Call the church office. We would be happy to talk with you and figure out, is there a way that we can connect? We'll set up a private Zoom conversation, if you will. If you want to know more about being connected to Christ, first of all, that's critically important. Well, this message is done, but the application is just starting. I trust that you will enjoy the opportunity God affords you this week. Let's take a moment right now and ask for God to use us in the week ahead. Lord, we have thought about how our culture is tuned in to the unknown. And so many times we hear in these updates and briefings, there are certain things we just don't know. But here's what we know. You are on the throne. You are in control of all things. Our hope is in you. And you have given us the ability to be connected because you are the one that connects us. Thank you for the message of the gospel and the hope that it brings. Make us alert to how we can be active this week and staying connected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.